Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and people have pointed to comic book stories as metaphors for the struggle of minorities for some time now. Even the new X-Men film has a scene where a father brings his mutant son to a doctor to have the son's angel wings removed and get cured from his mutant state. Here's a clip from that film.
Dad, can we talk about this for a sec?
We've talked about it, son. But I'll be over soon. Everything's going to be fine.
Wait. I can't do this.
Warren, calm down.
I can't do this.
Yes, you can.
Okay,
just relax, son. Take it easy. Calm down.
I can't do this.
I promise you.
Yeah.
Fine. Warren, relax. Warren, it's a better life. It's what we all want.
No. What you want.
So now, DC Comics is launching a new Batwoman character who is openly lesbian. She's being described as a lipstick lesbian who has a relationship with a female Gotham City cop. The move has led to much ink in the media, with an article in last Sunday's New York Times and the Daily News, as well as chatter on comic book websites. Some comic enthusiasts say it's nothing new, but others say dealing with homosexuality in this high-profile comic book way is a milestone. So with me now is Nick Purpura, store manager for Jim Henley's Universe, that famous comic book store in the city, and Gene Cannonberg, Jr., director of comicbookresearch.org. He's also a former professor of young adult literature at the University of Houston. Gene, Nick, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
How
Thanks
are
very
you?
Much. Hello.
Good. So, Gene Cannonberg, is this anything new?
It's not really new. The fact that it's making news actually isn't even that new either. It's just the most recent instance of this actually happening. But since it's a Bat character, and since the Batman movie just came out and was very popular, of course everyone's going to jump onto it as something that's very radical. But it's not as radical as I think some people are trying to portray it.
Nick, what do you think? Is getting Batwoman out of the Bat closet a big deal?
Oh, well, I tend to agree. You know, this is not something that comic fans haven't seen before. It's not something society has seen before. I think that, you know, using something big like a bat character makes it very high profile. But in comics, this isn't anything new, nor is it new in society.
And we can open up the phones. Bat comics readers, lesbians, is this a big deal to you? Is this a step forward in popular culture? Or is this just kind of, you know, is everybody going to be blasé about this now because so many people are out in so many forums? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Gene, do some comic book history for us. How was Batwoman originally portrayed when the character was introduced in the 1950s?
Oh, she was part of the expanding Batman family. Just like you had the Superman family with Supergirl and Superdog, you had Batman, you had eventually you had Bat-Hound and things like that, and they had Batwoman, who was a very kind of a flamboyant. She was a former circus performer, kind of like Robin. She dressed in a bright yellow and red suit, which was very good for blending into shadows, I guess, somehow. And she fought crime with her. She didn't call it a purse. It was kind of a shoulder bag, but she had things like a compact mirror that she would use to blind people, or a hairnet that would expand greatly, or lipstick that would kind of a lightsaber out into a weapon, or things like that. So it was very sort of a lady Batman, sort of, with all the kind of female accoutrements that go along with that. And there was always a little bit of sexual tension between her and Batman, and Robin wondering why this Iggy girl was in there.
Nick, anything to add to that?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, the birth of the character was exactly like he said, you know, the kind of the wacky 60s DC stuff that they did that, you know, were kind of pulpy and fun and you know, harken almost to the actual television show later on, where it was a little sillier than anything. So, I mean, when they're using this Batgirl character, this Batwoman character, it's not the same Batgirl that everyone, you know, quote, grew up on or was introduced through the years. So they're taking a really lesser-known used character, except for, you know, big comic fans, and switching around, updating her for today.
Also with us now is Emily Rem, managing editor of Bust Magazine, the women's magazine that focuses on pop culture. Emily, welcome to WNYC.
Thanks.
And you're on with Gene Cannenberg, director of comicbookresearch.org, and Nick Purpura, store manager for Jim Hanley's Universe, a great comic book store here in New York City. Emily, do you think this is any kind of a cultural landmark, milestone?
Well, I think it is and it isn't. First and foremost, I think it's great that DC is expanding, trying to become more diverse in their characters. It's, you know, I think that it's been a pretty consistent gripe among our readers, who are predominantly young women ages 18 to 34, that the comic book universe is has been really narrow for a really long time. And that these efforts that have been, you know, taking place in the last few years have been really refreshing, and I don't want to denigrate that. However, I think that this particular one is a little safe. Like, I don't necessarily think it's a change that's being made to attract women readers so much as, like it is diverse, because there hasn't really been an out lesbian character in the fore like this before, but I think it's mostly to titillate male readers in
Emily,
this particular case.
Do you see this in marketing terms?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they're pleasing, you know, the customers that want something that's more diverse, but they're really, in terms of marketing, if you take a look at, I don't know if your listeners have seen the pictures of the new Batwoman, but, you know, you couldn't really pick her out in a lineup from, like, all of the other, like, super titillating women superheroes out there, you know. It's, like, she's being marketed as a lipstick lesbian, and they're being very, very upfront about that. Like, don't worry, guys, she'll still be hot. And that's definitely
That's what lipstick lesbian is code for.
That is exactly what it's code for. It's don't worry, guys, she'll still be hot. Like, you might see girls kiss, and you'll want to buy it because of that.
Okay, guys, is a hot woman cartoon character who's also lesbian a turn on for you? 212-433-WNYC. And lesbians, what do you think about the portrayal of lesbians and lesbianism in popular culture today in general? Are you seeing more of it? Are you seeing more of it that you like? Do you care about the new Batwoman character? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And let's take a phone call. Eileen in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Yeah, hi. I just wanted to make a comment. Generally, comic book movies usually will succeed if there's only one superhero character, also known as a cape. Only one cape can be on the screen for the duration of a movie at a time. If you have more than one cape or more than one superhero on the screen, it starts getting kind of comical and kind of silly. And so, I mean, the Batman and Robin movies were sort of evidence of that kind of failure. If you're going to do this movie with Batwoman, she needs to be solo. She needs to be completely by herself. She can't be, like, on the screen in addition to other superheroes, at least not in my opinion, because it just starts, the plausibility starts getting thinner and thinner, and the ability to suspend disbelief gets thinner and thinner. But then you put this other factor in there of she's also a lesbian, and the whole thing just collapses into laughableness. So if they're going to do this, they have to engineer the whole story, the whole movie, to avoid other things that start collapsing the credibility.
X-Men is a multiple capes team, isn't it?
X-Men, the concept of X-Men is that they are a team to begin with. The idea of one problem, which was the mutant problem, the one mutant problem that caused all these different people to be born in this way. When you have this person was bitten by this person came from another planet, and then that person came had an accident in a lab. When you've got multiple people who have got multiple bizarre things happening,
gotcha. Let me get Gene Cannenberg on this, director of comicbookresearch.org. Do you think they have a too much stuff problem here?
Oh, I don't think so, because they're not really number one. It's not a movie; it's just a comic book so far.
Yeah,
and also that I don't think they're actually giving her own series yet. They're trying her out in a few different places to see how popular the character actually is. Of course, I'm sure they're hoping the character is going to be very popular.
Emily, do you know if women and girls read adventure comic books much? Is there a female audience for Batwoman in the first place?
I think there is. There's definitely fangirls out there. There's definitely women who are hungry for more proactive super heroines. Like, I would say that Wonder Woman is a great example. She's an icon, you know. She was on the cover of Ms. Magazine. Like, it's not just because she's a great image. It's because women really respond to super heroines. And I think that if they are able to bring this character, like, a rich, proactive storyline, that it could pick up with women if they play their cards right.
Nick, I should really ask you this question, since you are a manager of a comic book store. Do women and girls buy comic books?
Lots of them. I have a staff of half girls here. We employ 15 people. At least 7 of them are girls. All of them longtime comic book readers, from, you know, silly cartoon comics to the most, you know, hardcore regular, you know, superhero comics to independent comics. So yeah, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of customers. On the flip side, Batwoman tends to appeal more to the male superhero characters. Boys tend to read the male adventure comics more than the girls. The one note I'd like to make about the Batwoman thing is I think they made a really step in the Knight's direction after calling her a lipstick lesbian, not to put her in a scantily clad outfit and not to put her in the bikini, but to put her in a full bat suit like all the other characters would be.
Do you think boys are going to find this character hot, or is this targeted actually to lesbians?
Well, truthfully, is our biggest fan base here are men over 18 are usually the biggest comic readers. So I think it's more of the inclusion of the Detective Montoya character, the character that she's going to be hooking up with, is more of the interest. It was a comic called Gotham Central, published by DC for the last 3 years, that included this character. And I think, you know, the fans of that book are going to be jumping right on to see what's happening with their favorite detective. And all of the Batman fans, one of the reasons why, like Gene said before, they established something like the Superman and the Batman families were to get people who were interested in Batman to buy more comic books and to buy more stuff about the characters they really enjoy.
Dick Purpura, manager for Jim Hanley's Universe, the New York Comic Book Store, Gene Cannenberg, director of comicbookresearch.org, Emily Rem, managing editor of Bust Magazine, a women's magazine that focuses on pop culture, as we talk about the introduction of a lesbian Batwoman by DC Comics, and Amy in South Orange. You're on WNYC. Hi, Amy.
Hi, Brian. I'm a big fan of your show. I'm also an ex-student of your brother's.
Oh, wow. Great.
And I used to work for DC.
He's a great teacher.
He is. I used to work for DC, and I just wanted to bring up that, I think you guys already brought it up, that Renee Montoya was an out lesbian character already. And so this isn't, in fact, the first album.
Right. So the Renee Montoya, Nick, let me go back to you on this. Mm-hmm. The Renee Montoya character, who is she?
She's a detective in the Gotham the Gotham Police Department. She's a character that's been featured in the Batman animated TV show, where she's been shown as a regular stand-up, good Spanish officer, and she in the Gotham Central comic, where it became, like I said before, a very much an NYPD blue comic book, but mm-hmm. for the Batman universe.
Mm-hmm.
One of the major subplots was this character coming out of the closet and how her very, very Catholic, you know, Spanish family deal with this, how the people who work with her deal with this. So as an interest story, it was a very cool story that, you know, people could, you know, they delved a lot farther into the character of Detective Montoya than her just being average cop on the street.
And because she was not the Cape, it was not such a big deal. She
right.
was not the lead superhero.
Yeah, she didn't have Bat in her name.
Right. All right. That's,
well, she did have Two-Face fall in love with her.
That's true.
The whole, you know, duality of the character thing.
Right.
And that's Renee Montoya, not Renee Montaigne, right?
No, Montoya.
Okay. Amy, thank you very much. Gene, what about gay male characters in comic books?
Yeah, we've seen a lot of those. I think the first really large-scale one that actually literally publicly came out of the closet was a character called Northstar, who was a kind of a mutant spinoff, not an X-Man, but from a team called Alpha Flight, which is very similar to the X-Men. This was in, I think, the late 80s or early 1990s. And he came out of the closet during a fight where he's baring his teeth going, "In fact, I am gay." And it got some press at the time, and it seemed, I don't know, I wasn't reading it very carefully at the time, but it seemed a little bit like a stunt, a little bit more. It didn't seem like they were really delving into it a whole lot. But again, I wasn't reading those for sure. But there's been a lot of that since then, either more subtle or more overt, kind of like that. But it's not, again, it's not something that's incredibly rare. It's also not incredibly common either.
Jay in the West Village, you're on WNYC. Hi, Jay.
Hi, Brian. You know, I think this is, just to go back to a comment that was made earlier, I think this actually is a huge marketing ploy by DC Comics to not only attract, you know, female lesbian readers because, ooh, this is something great and new, but I know as an aging fraternity boy, I'm a huge fan of anything lesbian. You know, I'm straight and with the instance of pornography and it's prevalent. You know, I've learned that it's actually right in reference to an earlier show on NPR. Pornography is causing our society to really look for more aggressive pictures. So, you know, no longer am I going to be satisfied with the Catwoman character who's, you know, just jumping around from building to building and trying to turn on Batman. You know, now I get my lesbian fix also while I'm watching DC Comics.
Emily Rem, does it look that way to you?
Well, yeah, that's basically, I think, that's the primary market that they're going for, I think, with this new incarnation of Batwoman. To try to say otherwise, I think, would be trying to play the audience for chumps. I mean, I think we all know what it's like to be marketed to. We understand where it's coming from and where the money in comics is. And so while I applaud diversity, as I said, like I think their motives are pretty blatant.
By the way, Gene Kannenberg, didn't DC Comics issue a cease and desist order when an artist put in a gallery exhibition portrayals of Batman and Robin in intimate positions?
Yes, I can't remember the artist's name, but that was, I think, just last year.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you'll see that happen quite a bit. Yeah, they're trying to protect their trademark also.
Lillian in Fort Washington, you're on WNYC.
Oh, thank you, Brian. I listen to you every day.
Thank you.
We have been assuming that Batman and Robin were gay, but the reason I think this is a landmark is because they're coming out and saying, yes, she's lesbian. And I think that's really important. And the fact that she's not going to be a dykey lesbian, but going to be a lipstick lesbian also says something. I think it's really important.
Emily, you're going to get the last word here.
There's a variety of sexual expression in all women, like lipstick lesbian or not lipstick lesbian. Like I think that we all know who the real market is for this, and while it may be considered important later on because there's so few representations of like strong superhero women like who are getting their own storylines, I think at the moment now. We know who this is being marketed towards.
Emily Rem is managing editor of Bust Magazine, a women's magazine that focuses on pop culture. Gene Kannenberg is director of comicbookresearch.org. Nick Purpura is the manager of Jim Hanley's Universe, the comic book store. What's the address, real quick?
4 West 33rd, Midtown Manhattan.
Thanks, all of you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.